This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a real pleasure to have back on today's program Representative William L. Dickinson, Republican from Alabama. Congressman Dickinson, good of you to be back with us today.
Thank you, Dick. It's nice being back.
We were talking last week about the speech that you made in the House of Representatives on March 30th about the March on Montgomery. And you had an awful lot of interesting material, so much so, in fact, that we couldn't cover it all in one program. So let's continue where we left off.
All right, fine.
Were you actually in Alabama during the time of the Selma to Montgomery March?
Yes, I flew home on Tuesday. I believe they were supposed to have left Selma on Monday, as I recall. And I stayed in Montgomery throughout that week while the marches were coming in and up to and including the march downtown in Montgomery.
Now, some of these incidents that you reported in this House speech, were you an eyewitness to any of them yourself?
No, no more than just to see the beatniks and the rabble on the road. Now, not all of them were, and as I pointed out last week, there were four distinct groups here. We had the local Negroes who had an interest here and who were peacefully demonstrating for those things in which they believe, and they have a right to do this. There's another group, the outside do-gooders. There were you ministers, you nuns, and other professional people who, out of a very sincere sense of propriety and what they feel is right, which I feel is misguided, but, however, were down there to participate in what they felt was a worthwhile cause, and they did so out of sincerity. The third group, though, that caused all the trouble and caused all of these scenes that I've talked about are professional demonstrators. They don't care what they're demonstrating for. The same faces appear in Philadelphia and California, Harlem, Selma. The newsmen say that they've seen the same dirty, bearded faces in most every demonstration. Some left there going for one demonstration. Others got in a bus going over to Mississippi. One girl said that she was going to leave, said they were going to try to get somebody killed, and they were too violent. She was going over to Mississippi for the rest of the summer. But as I say, they're just professional demonstrators. They are paid, and they really couldn't care less about the rights that they profess to be demonstrating for. They're just out for kicks. They're adventurous. And they've got just about the morals of an alley cat.
In other words, whether it be a demonstration to abolish the Un-American Activities Committee, or a demonstration protesting housing conditions in Harlem, or a demonstration for the so-called free speech at the University of California, or a so-called voting rights demonstration in Alabama, many of the same faces will turn up.
That's right. That's exactly right. If somebody's paying them, and they were paid, I believe it came out in the paper recently, they had some paid workers there in the march. Well, they had quite a few. I don't believe any of these groups have to account to anyone for the money that comes in. If so, I don't know to whom they do account. And they put on one of these demonstrations and get the emotions up and advertise in all of the papers, the Washington papers, the New York papers. Send your money in to keep this thing going, and nobody ever knows where the money goes or how it's spent. And they just account to themselves and no one else. And so every time a demonstration happens and something bad happens and they get full publicity, then they pass the hat and the money, I'm sure, comes pouring in.
In your speech to the House, you said that drunkenness and sex orgies were the order of the day in Selma, on the road to Montgomery, and in Montgomery. And you added that there were many, not just a few, but many instances of sexual misconduct in public between Negroes and whites. Now, what is your basis for making this statement? Is there proof of this fact?
I have in my files affidavits from eyewitnesses. One was a woman who was parked in a car in downtown Montgomery one evening. I have an affidavit from a captain of the highway patrol. I have another affidavit from a National Guardsman that was called into duty. I think all the proof that any fair-minded man would want from eyewitnesses who saw these things.
And to show that it is not native proof, that is, people who are inclined to be opposed to these demonstrations anyway, didn't many of the northern reporters on the scene also witness some of these activities, and in fact,
yes,
some of them wrote about them?
That's true. I know of two AP writers who witnessed these things. I was interviewed at the Capitol at the conclusion of my speech on the floor, and one of the newsmen who interviewed me had just returned from Selma, and he was saying that he was discussing it when it started coming in on the wire, and that what I had described on the floor he had personally seen, and then he told me of some instances that he had seen. It's certainly not a bias by section here. This is facts that need to be reported.
You mentioned at the beginning that there were four distinct groups taking part in this demonstration, and that the two groups that were causing the trouble were, in your opinion, the professional demonstrators and the communist and pro-communist element that was in there to try and stir up trouble.
That's very true.
Some of the others, the do-gooders, as you classified them, some of the, perhaps, the clergy from other parts of the country who were in Alabama, it's my understanding that some of them got so fed up with what was going on, so disgusted, that they actually left during the course of the demonstration.
Yes, this is true. And this was reported in the press. It wasn't given much play, but a few were reported as having left out of disgust. Others went back and, I suppose, were a little ashamed to admit what they had been involved in and didn't say anything, and we didn't get much press coverage on that. But I know many came and expressed disgust and were very let down at what they had seen, because they realized that this was not what they had been led to believe, and turned around the same day and went back. So this was not an isolated incident or two that was reported in the newspaper, but many, in fact, did go back.
One point that you made in your speech that I think would bear quoting again, you asked, has anyone stopped to think what sort of people can leave home, family, and job, if they have one, and live indefinitely in a foreign place demonstrating? And then you made this very significant point. This is no religious group of sympathizers trying to help the Negro out of a sense of right and morality. This is a bunch of godless riffraff out for kicks and self-gratification that have left every campsite between Selma and Montgomery littered with whiskey bottles, beer cans, and evidence of sexual misconduct. I wonder if many people in the country are realizing this. What has been the reaction that you've received during the few days since your speech?
Dick, the response has been very gratifying. It's been overwhelming, as a matter of fact. I'm getting several hundred letters per day. I've had telephone calls from all over the United States wanting reproductions of my speech. And I found that, for the most part, there's been very favorable, the response. And those few instances that have been unfavorable have been from those who have not taken the trouble to read my remarks. They have read what the newspapers have interpreted me to mean, which was a reflection on the clergy and those sincere people that were there. And of course, I did not say that, and I do not intend that. I tried, and I did make it very plain that there were four distinct elements here that could be readily identified, and one should not be blamed for the other's misconduct any more than the state of Alabama should be blamed for the misconduct of one or two misguided individuals.
Well, Congressman Dickinson, you've observed the demonstrations in Selma, the Selma to Montgomery March, and so on and so forth. It's been characterized, of course, to the nation as a demonstration concerning the so-called right to vote. In fact, it's taken on many of the attributes of a holy crusade, as you said in one of your speeches. Do you feel that that's what this is all about? Is a demonstration really over voting rights, or is it more a demonstration just to be demonstrating?
Well, Dick, this last incident, this march from Selma to Montgomery, could not, by any stretch of the imagination, be considered legitimately a demonstration for voting rights, because first, the Civil Rights Bill has been passed, and the demonstrators haven't even given it a chance to work through the courts. Secondly, Judge Thomas of Mobile, the federal judge who had charge of this voting registration in Selma, has already ordered the registrars to register more, and to say that any of that weren't registered by June, that he would make some different arrangements. Now, this has been done. Everyone who wants to vote can vote. Anyone who wants to register can register. They've been given every legal right that they say that they want. They have no other cause to demonstrate now except for the sake of demonstration. But they had gotten together and created such an emotional upheaval that they just had a good thing going with the money coming in, and they had the sympathy of the country, and had some bad breaks for the state of Alabama through some misguided people. And they were able to capitalize on this and get the money coming in and keep their cause going and really perpetuate themselves as heroes of the day.
Congressman Dickinson, in your speech, you mentioned a handbill that was being distributed in the camp areas where the demonstrators were camping during the Selma to Montgomery March. Do you have a copy of that with you?
Yes, I do, Dick, and I made it plain on the floor that I don't know who printed this. I do not know how it got to the parade. I do know that they were in evidence and were passed out among the marchers, advertising a tent show nightly where everybody's free to come in and lose their inhibitions and join in. I don't know where it came from, but it was in evidence there.
It says at the top, "Welcome freedom marchers to Hollywood Burlesque," and then down here, "Girls, girls, 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 girls." And down at the bottom, "Note to Southern girls, come join in the fun if you can cast off the old-fashioned ideas, whether of racial bigotry or medieval moronic morality." I think that pretty well speaks for itself. Congressman Dickinson, thank you very much for being with us on these discussions, and let me add my personal thanks for doing a very excellent job of presenting a very touchy subject in the best of taste.
Thank you, Dick.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Congressman William L. Dickinson, Republican from Alabama. One thing I'd like to mention before we close, and that is that Congressman Dickinson's speech entitled "March on Montgomery, the Untold Story," has been reprinted from the Congressional Record. And if you'd like to have a copy of this reprint, just write to us at the address given at the end of this program. Ask for Congressman Dickinson's speech about the March on Montgomery, and we'll be happy to send you a copy. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion, and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.